This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen and Noel Lim. 7:07 a.m, Tuesday the 1st of December, and in about 15 minutes we'll be speaking with Dr. Juwita Mohamad, fellow at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies of Malaysia, for her views on the new measures included in Budget 2021. But before that, we're taking a look at the markets.
Right, so we take a look at the US markets. Actually, in general, the markets were quite in the red. The US markets, Dow Jones was down 0.9%. The S&P 500 was down 0.5%. And the NASDAQ, not as bad. It was marginally in the red, 0.06%. So under 0.1% there. But the Asian markets were quite beaten down. Noah, what were the numbers like?
Yes, so I'm just looking very quickly. The Nikkei was down 0.8%. The Hang Seng was down 2.1%. Kospi down 1.6%. Shanghai Composite down 0.5%. SDI down 0.8%. But get this, KLCI was down 2.8%. There's some speculation that there will be an MSCI rebalancing, and hence there was a sharp sell down on some banks at the last 30 minutes of closing yesterday.
Yeah, that this was part of the MSCI rebalancing, right? Because a lot of the banks were down 6% in the last 30 minutes or so.
But this morning, for some analysis on global markets, we have on the line with us Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the US Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Joe, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. Now, US markets were in the red last night, albeit despite the fact that November was still a strong month, especially for small caps, which had the best monthly performance on record. So what would you say is the best investment strategy going forward as we head into the end of 2020?
Well, the best investment strategy is to be in equities, whether it's global, emerging markets, or U.S. or Europe. You know, fixed income doesn't offer any yield. So, I mean, really, and really here in the United States, it's broadening out. I know we had a rough day today, but that was expected. You know, valuation's a little stretched. Market's a little ahead of itself. You know, we're well above 3,600 on the S&P. But I do think when you look at kind of like the vaccination, the fiscal policy package that's coming in the U.S., synchronized global expansion, all the liquidity out there, be broadly based, you know, own tech, own the cyclicals, own the banks, even solar, wind. So to me, there's a lot of lift yet into the markets in the United States and globally.
Joe, one of the sectors that you did not mention there, though, was energy. Sentiment over U.S. energy companies has greatly improved in recent times, though. What is your view on energy going forward, especially over the slightly more optimistic tone we've seen in the last few weeks?
I mean, energy is priced in, oil prices have priced in the synchronized global expansion. I think energy prices from here forward are dependent on what happens with OPEC plus Russia. So, you know, to me, I mean, if you caught energy at the bottom, you made some money, my inclination would be, you know, take money off the table. You have a lot of electrical vehicles coming on stream, solar, wind. There's structural headwinds in front of energy. When you talk about big tech, to me, there's more like structural tailwinds that gives them more lift. So, you know, if you made money in energy, probably would take some money off the table here.
And looking at what's going to be happening at the Congress, what is Congress likely to ask Jerome Powell during his two-day testimony that begins this week? Are you expecting any surprises?
No, we're not expecting any surprises. And I hope Jay Powell will ask Congress instead of Congress asking Powell for anything, because Jay Powell has had a great pandemic in terms of scaring the Fed, helping the credit markets. But we do need that fiscal stimulus. There's a lot of programs rolling off at the end of December. There's a government shutdown potentially. But clearly, you know, we're losing some momentum into Q4, into the first quarter of next year. So Powell should be asking Congress and making it very clear up front that we need another fiscal stimulus sooner rather than later to keep the momentum and not go backwards, to keep the momentum rolling forward.
And Joe, China's November manufacturing PMI figures showed strong and steady growth. In comparison, how do you think the US's numbers, which are expected to be released tonight, how do you think they will compare? Are the two economies on divergent paths?
Well, I think China is ahead clearly in terms of leading the world economy out of the post-pandemic world. Because they put the right policies in place. They've done better than the United States in terms of the COVID-19 threat. So, but the key is U.S. continues to improve. Europe is the laggard. You know, it's really China leading the way, but right behind them, the United States. Europe's the laggard. But I do think you're going to see more of a bifurcation, continuation in the United States. Goods manufacturing doing better, accelerating. Services, however, still struggling. Whether it's restaurants, travel, tourism, that is getting hammered here. We're not out of the woods yet.
So, Joe, we're looking at China towards the economic recovery story. What other regions in Asia are you paying attention to? The ones that you're likely that you think will recover quickest after China, of course.
Well, in particular, I mean, close to China, whether it's Taiwan, South Korea, Japan. I mean, these are kind of like tech-driven platform economies, cloud computing, robotics, life science leaders, more in that space. When we get out into Southeast Asia, I mean, it is more consumption-driven in that sense. I mean, Malaysia semiconductors is a big story. But, yeah, we're clearly seeing whether it's copper, oil, emerging market risk on, that's coming from that China lift, that China growth story. And it's not just about exports and investment. Also, consumption. So the more that Chinese consumer is out there spending, the better off for Southeast Asia, whether it's in Northeast Asia, in Europe in general, luxury brand goods, U.S. included.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Joe. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, with his thoughts on what the international markets are looking like this morning. And he's of the opinion, I think, that he named a couple of countries which he expects to recover quickest after China. And so those are some of the ones that are closest geographically as well as economically to China, Taiwan and Japan and the like.
Yeah, there seems to be a theme going on with Joe's comments there, right? So if you pick up what he said earlier when I asked him about energy, that energy's basically got structural hurdles ahead of it, right? It's a sunset industry in a lot of ways, whereas big tech has structural headwinds. And then when you take a look at the countries outside of China, he mentioned robotics, he mentioned Japan, Taiwan. These are all countries that are going to be riding the tailwinds of big tech and in general, whereas the more commodity nature countries are the ones maybe not going to be as quick to recover, although consumption increase and demand increase from China and as economies recover will boost economies, right? Because more copper consumption, more oil consumption, things like that.
Yeah, in a digital world, it's there's a winner takes all kind of thing, right? So it makes sense to invest in a big tech or one that looks like it's going to be a big tech. But he also points to he's not very optimistic about energy stocks, right? In the long term, he's thinking about renewables, and it probably makes sense because as Biden comes in as president, and if he succeeds, he may be able to mobilize that $400 billion investments that he's promised over the next 10 years. And we're bound to see much more funds flowing into renewable stocks. The question is which stock?
And whether Senate approves those promises that he so greatly wants to do, right? Because end of the day, we'll have a Senate can be a maker or a breaker of a presidency. Or not a breaker, but at least a maker or a stagnator of a presidency.
Yeah, so this is something that I think a lot of markets are going to be watching quite closely as we head into the potential Biden administration come January. But speaking of energy, I mean, there's been some news out of OPEC as well last night. A meeting of OPEC Plus ministers was postponed, in fact, for 2 days to give ministers more time to find some kind of a consensus after a long, tense meeting broke down without an agreement. So according to a letter seen by Bloomberg, the meeting scheduled for later today has now been pushed to Thursday, December 3rd, so that further consultations can take place. The ministers were discussing whether to maintain output cuts for another 3 months or hike production as planned.
Yeah, so the meetings yesterday started off with some consensus buildings around extending the cuts to protect a recent rally in oil prices. But then the meeting became unusually tense, and Saudi Arabia's energy minister, in what appeared to be a gesture of frustration, told others he may resign as co-chair of a key OPEC Plus panel.
Yeah, I guess a failure to reach a deal here would undermine oil prices, which are recovering amidst the hopes of the virus vaccine. And essentially, this rides on the economy, right? If the economy starts to recover and we start seeing demand go up, oil starts being consumed a bit more, demand goes up because there is a supply does outstrip demand at this juncture. So this is not positive, right? This is not great news for the oil market, and will greatly impact us as well, because I think our budget is taking into considering $41 per barrel of oil. And right now we're at that sweet spot as opposed to the $60 of days gone by.
But speaking of vaccines, Moderna, there's been some news that Moderna is planning to request clearance for its coronavirus vaccine in the US and Europe after a new analysis yesterday showed the vaccine was highly effective in preventing COVID-19 with no serious safety problems. Now, the primary analysis included 196 cases, found that the vaccine was 94.1% effective, in line with some preliminary findings released earlier this month. So this is something that we're going to be watching quite closely, the race to the first vaccine approval. But right now we are about to head into some messages. And up next, we're speaking with Dr. Juwita Mohammed, fellow at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, Malaysia, for her views on the new measures included in Budget 2021. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.